But we had some good things, and things sometimes you know, you think everybody knows, but some people came to me after that and appreciated the lesson and thanked me for it. And one of those is the wise men that we're about to read about. Now, I want you to understand these men came somewhere between 6 months to 2 years after Jesus was born. Go back and read it. You'll see they went to the house that he was in. They did not go to the manger. And the reason I say 6 months to 2 years is because John the Baptist was prophesied to be born 6 months before Jesus, and he was. So Herod knew that because his scholars told him that, King Herod. So he told them, go out and kill all the babies from 6 months old to 2 years old. So he'd be sure to get that baby that they were calling King of the Jews. But he didn't. Of course, you know, they fled to Egypt. Now, that was well after the manger scene. And tonight I'm going to preach on these wise men. Now, one of the myths is there were three of them. We do not know how many they were. It doesn't say they were three. There could have been 10 or 12. We don't know. We just know they brought three different types of gifts. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now, they might have brought 10 each. We don't know. We just don't know. We also know that they were not, we always see them at the manger scene, and there's a white one, and there's a brown one, and there's a yellow one. But I can tell you for a fact that wasn't so. Because Isaiah prophesied the birth of Christ from Babylon, and they came from Babylon. They were Jews, Jewish Bible scholars, who had studied the scriptures, and they knew what was happening. So they went to Bethlehem to see the Savior that the Jew had been looking for all along anyway. And they were not black, white, and yellow. They were Jewish men, Bible scholars, who went to see the born King of the Jews and the Savior of the world. And that's what they went for. So that's where I'm going to go from tonight, okay? And I know that might mess up your manger scene, and they're in my manger scene. And I don't know what to do about it. I just leave them in there, you know. I don't, it's just one of those traditions. It ain't going to send you to hell, but it ain't going to help you to go to heaven either. It's just, you know. So let's look at Matthew chapter 2. We'll start with verse 1 and 2 and then 10 and 11. It says, now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. Now, for the sake of time, skip down to verse 10. And it says, and when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, underline that, into the house, they saw the young child, not a baby, young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And then let's read verse 12. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own singular country another way. Not three different countries. Went back home. Babylon. Went back home. Amen. Now these men were called wise men for several reasons. Number one, they knew the scriptures. Jesus said, search the scriptures, for they are they which testify of me. Now, in order to know that he was going to be born, they had to be wise in the scriptures. Not only were they called wise men because they knew the scriptures, but because they were intelligent enough to find their way all the way to Jerusalem, to a place they'd never been, to Israel, I mean, to Bethlehem. They'd never been there before. And I've read it took anywhere from a month to 2 months to get there because they had to walk or ride a camel or a horse, and it took a long time. So they were wise. But they were also wise simply because they came. Right. In verse 1, it says, now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. Now, why would they come, you would ask? Well, we would say, number one, they knew the Scripture, that Scripture was being fulfilled of a coming Savior who was one day going to be King of Kings and Lord of all Lords. Like I heard one fellow say one day, he said Jesus didn't come to persuade us. He came to rule us. And one day he will rule us with a rod of iron when he comes back. So they came. Now another reason they came, they realized they had a need. They had a need for a Savior just like everybody else.
Amen.
Any honest, wise person will tell you, I have a need. And that need is, I need to get in touch with God. I need to know God. I need to know how to get to God. And the way I am, if I'm wise, I'll admit it, I need a Savior because I can't get to God the way I am. Because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All we like sheep have gone astray. David said, in iniquity did my mother conceive me. In other words, he was born a sinner. We were born that way. We have sinful tendencies and sinful thoughts and sinful behavior. And when I say sin, the Bible says transgression of the law, God's law, is sin. Anything that breaks God's law is a sin. There's no big sins. There's no little sins. There's no white sins or black sins. It's just sin. And any sin is coming short of the glory of God and will keep us out of His presence. And if meaning His presence, I mean heaven. You can't go to heaven with sin. Now, since we are sinners and since we're born that way and nobody had to teach us how to sin, that's what comes natural. Somebody had to teach us how not to sin, and that's not natural, and we can't live that way except by being born again and get a new nature.
That's right.
And they knew that, and they'd studied the Scriptures, and they were looking for a Savior. They knew about the sacrifices. They knew about the holy days. They knew about the symbolism of everything of Israel and all that pertained to Israel. But they knew that all of that would not save a sinner. All of that was symbolic of a Savior that was yet to come. They knew that. How do I know that? Because they were wise men. The Bible says the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And you have to be a foolish man or woman to think that there is no God. And you got to be foolish to think if there is a God, that the way you are naturally, you can stand before a thrice holy God. And so they were wise men because they realized their needs. So they saw a hope that there was a Savior born, and they went. Now, everybody, according to Romans, no, I tell you what, John 3:16, everybody knows it. For God so loved the world. He sent His only begotten Son, not NIV, His one and only Son. That's not true. It's His only begotten Son. Born of a woman means begotten. Born of a virgin, not just Son. Don't let them take that away from you. And so He sent His only begotten Son. Now, we need that because John 3:17 says, he that believeth is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already because he's not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God.
Amen.
So any wise person, as I'm sure everybody in here is, would have to admit that without Jesus Christ, we're condemned. We're without hope. I mean, at my best, I'm a sinner.
Amen.
I mean, the best I can work at it, I still come short the glory of God.
Amen.
I said this morning, thank God I'm not what I used to be. Before I was born again, I got a new heart, I got a new mind, I got a new spirit, I got a new attitude, I got a new life. But listen, I still come short of the glory of God. Now, I don't do what I used to. But I don't always do what I ought to do either. And to him that knoweth do good and doeth it not, to him is sin, James says. Come on, help me here. Y'all still Baptists, ain't you? Amen. Listen, I'm telling you. At our best, if we are wise people, we'd have to realize we need a Savior. Would you say amen? I need some of y'all on that back. Wake up back there. Help me here. Amen. Listen, now, they came because they were wise. And if we'll see our need, we'll come to Him if we're wise. Now, our world's full of foolish people. I hear it all the time. I used to say it myself. Well, Pastor, you know, whenever I quit drinking and whenever I quit lying and cussing, and whenever I quit these bad habits I got, I'll come give my heart to Jesus and I'll get saved and I'll join the church. And I tell them now the same way my old pastor used to tell me when I tell him that before I was saved, I'd say, you're going to die and go to hell.
Right.
You'll never stop sinning.
Right.
Now you may quit drinking, but you're still going to be a sinner.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And you'll probably take up something else in its place. Amen. Amen. It's funny how the drunk says that the drug addict's worse and the drug addict says the drunk's worse. Amen. It's funny how the fornicator says the adulterer's worse and the adulterer says the fornicator's worse. It's funny how the homosexual says that the pedophile is worse and the pedophile is, look, at your best, you're a sinner.
Come on, bro.
And without God, you're a doomed sinner.
Amen.
Without Jesus Christ. Now you get wise, but there's a lot of foolish people make excuses. They deny they're a sinner. Well, I'm not that bad, they say. I said, well, how many sins does it take to be a sinner? One. Surely everybody in this room qualifies for one. Well, I ain't bad as he is. Yeah, but it's still hell for one or 100.
Come on, man. Yeah.
Listen, if you're wise, you'll admit your need of a Savior, and you'll seek Him. Now, I didn't always know what I'm seeking. Some of you didn't know what you were seeking. I didn't know what I was seeking, but I was always a seeker of truth. I wanted to know the truth. I didn't know what the truth was, and I grew up in a generation where they sang about it, and they sang about love, and they sang about peace, and we talked about all that stuff, but we never could find it. And then in 1978, I met the Savior and I met the way, the truth, and the life. And He gave me the peace of God that passes all understanding. And I don't have to protest to get it. I ain't got to carry a sign to get it. And I got justice and I got peace. And I don't have to lay down in front of cars at the police station to get it. Praise God. You know what? I got it. Because I got wise enough to turn to Him instead of me. Amen. Amen. That's it. Now, look at verse 10. Look at verse 10, if you will, in chapter 2. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Now, let me tell you something. When they saw Him, when they followed that star, and they followed it to their end, in response to their need, they came to find out where He was at. And when they found Him, they got a glimpse of the greatest light in the universe, amen. Jesus Christ. He's the light of the world.
Amen.
Now that star just led them to the light. The star was not the light. The star is what guided them to the light, Jesus Christ. Amen? He's the bright and morning star, according to the Bible. And in Him is no darkness at all, and not even a shadow of turning, meaning when He turns around, there's no shadow there. I turn around, I see my shadow. God don't have a shadow. Jesus doesn't have a shadow. You know why? He is light. And light doesn't have a shadow. And in me, there's lots of shadows. In Him, there's none at all. Amen? Not a shadow of turning. You can look all the way around and you won't find a shadow at all on Him, because He is the light. He was not the star. The star didn't save them. He did. They saw that star. They caught a glimpse of His light. And because of that light, they saw hope. I remember when I was under conviction of the Holy Spirit, and He was drawing me after I plainly heard the gospel, and He began to work in my life, and it seemed like everywhere I turned, somebody was giving me a gospel tract or somebody was quoting me scripture. I had people knocking on my doors I'd never met, you know, to witness to me. My insurance man come over to witness to me. My life insurance man, he was a great Christian. Me and my friend Dale Bradley, he was sitting there with us. We lived over in Rock Hill Homes, and we were still in our 20s, and Dale Bradley's wife had left him and broke his heart, and he moved in with us a couple weeks, my best friend. And of course, all we did was sit around and drink and talk about his blues, you know. And we were sitting there one night, and somebody drove up in front of the house about dark. And it must have been summertime. I remember the door was open, and Dale looked out there and said, "Who is that?" And my wife said, "That's the insurance man come to see Ronnie." And he said, "The insurance man this time of night gonna sell insurance?" She said, No, he's come and talked to Ronnie about the Lord. Dale grabbed that can up. He took off down the hall. He said, wrong kind of insurance for me. And he went down and he went in the back room, didn't even turn on the light at the end of the hall. Sat down there in the dark because he didn't want to hear it. But you know how big the houses are in Rock Hill Home. You couldn't drop nothing in that house without everybody in there hearing it. So while that man sat there and witnessed to me, he was witnessing to Dale back there in the back room too, who didn't want to hear it. Amen. People just show up and start talking to me about the Lord. Now that was God did that. Because I was seeking light. I want to know light. I want to know the truth. Amen? Now, I knew nothing about the Bible. But they caught a glimpse of that light and they began to follow it. Let me tell you something. You're wise if God gives you a little glimpse of the light of the gospel and what that means to follow that through.
Amen.
I followed it through, Holroyd. You did too. Followed it through. A lot of people get a glimpse of that light and they'll get convicted and run away from it. Not me. It drew me. I wanted more light. And I'd go to church and that big old preacher would preach hot and heavy and talk about going to heaven and talk about going to hell and I'd get a little more light. And then months later I'd go back and he'd preach about Jesus and death, burial, and resurrection and dying for sins and rising from the grave and I'd get a little bit more light. And he just kept drawing me. Till finally, as much as I could without being saved, understood it. He drew me all the way to Jesus Christ, the light. And then I ran toward the light. I jumped out and come down that aisle. I wanted to be saved. It was like a moth going to a flame, man. I needed more. I wanted more. Then I got saved. After I got born again, you know what I wanted? More light. More about Jesus, more to know. Amen. I love Jesus. You could sing Amazing Grace, sing the first stanza, I'd be crying like a baby, man. I tell you, it was wonderful. And they saw that light, and because they saw that light, they saw Him. Now let me tell you something. The Bible says God has sent this light into all the world.
Amen.
And anybody that wants it can see it.
Amen.
Now, a lot of people don't want it. They won't be saved. The Bible tells us that. Few there be that find it, many that go to destruction. A lot of people don't want that light. And they'll get offended if you turn the light on. Kind of like some of y'all used to do down there, you know, when you was courting. Daddy come turn the light on, it'd make you mad. Amen. Yeah. And so God turns the light on. And some people get mad and they get mad at God. They can't get mad at God, they get mad at you because you're the one that brought the light. And then others, they get scared and they'll run away from the light. And they'll say, that's too spooky for me. That's what they've told me before. That's too spooky for me. I've had people tell me, I went to your church, it scared me. I'm not coming back down there. I said, well, that was God. That was God trying to turn the light on. You need to let Him. Amen.
Amen.
And then other people say, tell me more, preacher. Tell me more. I like that. There's hope in that. I can see that. And then we sing the song, I saw the light. Amen. Yeah. And so Marshall Field, 1978, I come down that aisle and I saw the light. And I received Him as my Savior. And then I wanted more light. And then more light. And every time, listen, I don't have a microphone. My sound man, we trained a new one of them too. I don't have my portable mic. But every time, I'd go to church and I'd hear it. I wanted to hear more.
Amen.
I want to hear more. So this is how it works. This ain't going to get on that tape. This is how it works. He'll give you light like He did them, and you'll follow it. And then when you get to where He wants you to be, He'll give you more light.
Amen.
And you'll follow that. Then when He gets you where you want to be, He'll give you more light.
Yeah.
And He'll take you all the way to glory. Give you more light and more light and more light. And I told my wife one day, I started naming these young men that got saved about the time I did. And I said, I don't understand it. I don't understand these guys. What's wrong with them? They're not living right. They're not trying to please God. They're pleasing themselves. They're not serving God. What's wrong with them? What's wrong with it? They're backslid. She said, no. Ain't nothing, no. She said, the problem is you've moved on.
Uh-huh.
And they haven't.
Uh-huh.
They got saved and had enough light. That was it. Now, you can turn me down now. I got back. they came. They saw hope. And did you know in the book of Acts, these Greeks came up to disciples. Now listen to me. Greeks, Gentiles, not Jews. And Greeks were known for to be great thinkers.
Yeah.
You know. They're the ones who made all those naked statues. You know. Ugly. But anyway, but they were great thinkers. They were great philosophers. And they'd sit around just debating stuff all the time. And one day they came to the disciples, and here's all they said. We desire to see Jesus.
Uh-huh.
Now here's a bunch of philosophers sit around debating on how many angels could sit on the head of a pen. And now somebody gave them a little scripture, a little knowledge of the divine light. And that drew them. And now they're seeking more light. They came to Jesus and they got saved.
Amen.
That's the same way these wise men did. They came to Jesus. They were looking for his light. And then I want you to notice this in verse 11. Y'all still with me?
Yes, sir.
Jeffrey's thinking about that peanut butter and banana sandwich. I can see it right now. Amen. Amen. That's angel food, brother. Go read your Bible. It says like white bread. It's angel food. Amen. Verse 11. Look at verse 11. When they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary's mother and fell down and worshiped him. Now, you know what will happen if you're wise? You'll worship him.
Amen.
Now, there's a lot of things going on nowadays they call worship. It ain't worship.
No.
They're having a good time. It's a party. They're singing, they're dancing, you know, and they're waving. They got those ballet dancers in church now, you know, and they got these women running around with these long pieces of cloth and running all up and down, you know, and they do a little bit of this, and they'll do a little bit of that, you know. And they got music playing in the background, and they're twirling round and round. And they're wearing funny hats, and then... No, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say that. And... they don't wear hats. but listen, that ain't worship. That ain't worship. You can't hurt a bird just as failing. Don't worry about it. Listen. And listen. They worship. Go back and look at it. Look at verse 11. Now, he says, and when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and they did what? When you worship the Lord Jesus Christ, you will not stand. You will not find anywhere. A lot of times the angel of the Lord appeared to people, and what's the first thing they did? It says they fell down.
Amen.
And on several times when they thought it was the Lord, it wasn't. It was an angel. They fell down, and angels say, don't worship me.
Praise
the Lord. We don't worship angels. But if you're wise, you'll worship Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. What you need to do is get rid of all that baggage these people call worship. Throw it out the window. Fall down on your face and worship him.
Amen.
Some of the best times you'll ever have in your life is somewhere off by yourself. And by the way, more worship comes by yourself than it does in a congregation.
Amen.
I'll get down here on this altar. I was down here the other day and God showed up. I got the crying and going on. I could feel God. I could feel God. This morning that little old girl was singing, Katie was singing, Mary, did you know? And that you kissed the face of God.
Amen.
I got goosebumps running up and down the back of my neck. The hair was standing up on my arms. I told Brother Ron, I said, I feel God. I feel God. I wanted to just fall out on my face and worship him. Now let me tell you something. Wise people worship him. Look, we'll build a church one day, but we're not worshiping a building.
No.
We're not worshiping an organization. We don't worship a denomination. We don't even have one. We're not worshiping a man or a group of men. We're worshiping the one and only Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And when you worship him and he moves on your heart and your mind, it'll throw you to your face.
Yes.
I've seen a lot of people in 30-something years, listen to me, I've seen a lot of people walk down and claim to get saved and worship the Lord. Come down the aisle chewing bubble gum and giggling and laughing. I told one day, a teenage boy came down and he was just laughing and giggling. I said, what are you come for? He said, I want to get saved. I said, you ain't ready. Go sit down. This ain't no game.
Amen.
lot of churches make it into some kind of play. It's not a plaything. This is serious stuff. And real Christians worship God. They fall at the feet of Jesus Christ. And your best worship will be when you're by yourself. Now, I feel God in here sometimes. And sometimes I don't. But I'm doing what He told me to do. And sometimes He'll show up and manifest Himself more than at other times. Now, He said He'd meet with us every time two or three came together. He'd meet with them. Did He say that?
Yes.
So I know He's here. But sometimes that spirit of worship comes on me that I can't do nothing. There'd been times I couldn't even talk. I was crying so hard. Worshiping Him. Best times. And by the way, a lot of those times would be considered the worst of times to human beings.
Right.
Wise people still worship Jesus Christ.
Amen. Yes.
They not only saw themselves as sinners, they not only saw a little child, but they saw a Savior.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what you think about Him, but He's everything to me. I love my wife. I think she loves me. I know she gave me a new bathrobe for Christmas. I never owned a bathrobe. It ain't a house coat.
I did buy you a bathrobe, but it wasn't for Christmas.
Oh, it wasn't for Christmas.
Well,
now my feelings are hurt. I'm calling Pat. I love her. She bought me a robe. I never had a robe. I did. I had a robe in first grade. Somebody loaned to me when I was in the Christmas play, and they made me Joseph, and I didn't even know who Joseph was. Amen. Listen, when we see Him for what He is, we'll worship Him and we'll fall down. And wise men still seek Him as Savior and Lord and worship Him.
Amen.
People, they'll say, I'm a Christian, but I don't go to church. I said, then I don't know if you're a Christian or not. I don't know your heart, but I know you ain't a good one.
That's right.
Amen.
Well, I wouldn't say that. You're going to run them off. Where am I going to run them off to? They ain't going to church no way.
Amen.
Amen. They're going to get mad at you. If they came to church, they'd probably get mad at me. Y'all scared to say amen, ain't you? Ron said it. He just sat real quiet. Now, I want to worship Him. I desire to worship. I've been in His presence.
Amen.
And I've done a lot of things in my life, but nothing's ever satisfied me as much as His presence.
Amen.
Now, let me tell you how to get off drugs. Get in His presence.
Amen.
Get off alcohol. Get in His presence.
Amen.
Get those mean, hateful feelings out of you. Get in His presence.
Amen.
And you'll worship Him. I really believe that the majority of the churches today they're full of people who have never experienced the worship of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Brother Billy, it would scare them to death for the power of God to fall on them one time.
Amen.
Let's worship. Last but not least, in verse 11 it says they presented Him those gifts. You know what Jesus said in Matthew 6:21? They traveled a long way to give these things to Him. You know what Jesus said? He said, where your treasure is, there will be your heart also. They brought Him the most valuable things they owned and gave them away.
Amen.
Just gave them to Him. I wouldn't give you a nickel for a stingy Baptist religion.
Amen.
Because where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. And a lot of people think they can hold on to their treasure like this and every once in a while just touch Him a little bit. But I got news for you. You're going to have to let go of your treasure first.
Amen.
Whatever it is that you adore and you worship and that holds you, it may not be money. I don't know what it is. But whatever that treasure is, you're going to have to lay it at His feet.
Amen.
You got to. Because when you do that, you're laying your heart at His feet.
Amen.
And the Bible says if you would believe in your
heart
and then confess with your mouth, you'd be saved. But you can't have two lords. He said that's not possible. He said you'll love one and hate the other. You got to lay that treasure down at his feet. You know, I've met a lot of preachers who need to lay their treasure at his feet. And I'm going to say it. I'm going to say it. I ain't said it in a long time, Ron. Nickel nipping, penny pinching, soft soaping, ear tickling, back scratching, panty waist preachers that's still holding on to the things of this world, and they need to let them go and get right with God, and God ain't going to use them till they do.
Amen.
You ain't mad at me, are you? No. Good. Not yet. He's a Methodist. He can't help that. We baptized him. We baptized him, but I don't think it took. What were the treasures? Gold. That's the medal of kings. That represents royalty. Gold. Frankincense. That's the fragrance of life. Frankincense. That was their most expensive perfume. Frankincense. That's the life, the sweet smelling life of Christ. Frankincense. And then they also gave him myrrh. That was something that they used to embalm people. Now, they didn't have embalmment like we do. They just had things they would put on the body and around the body so that it wouldn't smell. And they'd hold that body out for about 3 days. You remember whenever Jesus went to Lazarus and he found his sisters, you know, and they said, "You're too late. Lazarus is dead." And Jesus said, "He's not dead. He sleepeth." And listen to what they said. "No, Lord. He's been dead 4 days. He stinketh."
Yeah.
There's a lot of stinking Baptists, I'm telling you. Been dead 4 days. I know some Baptists been spiritually dead for 40 years.
Yeah.
Amen. 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 We're going to get these Yankees stirred up. They'll go back up. They'll go back up there with a rebel flag or something. You don't know what they're going to do now. Listen. That myrrh was used to wrap around that body, and then they would wrap cloth around the myrrh and spices, and they just put more and more and more. And that's why whenever he said, "Lazarus, come forth," he waddled out of that tomb. And listen to what Jesus said. "Loose him and let him go." Yeah. Amen. Yeah. He wasn't dead anymore. Ephesians says, "Ye who were dead in trespasses and sin hath he quickened. Let him go." Amen. The day you got saved, that gave you something to keep you for all eternity. You'll never stink again in the nostrils of God. Amen. Amen. That's enough to make a Presbyterian shout. Amen. Amen. You'll never stink in the nostrils of God again. Every time he looks at you, it's a sweet smelling savor. Amen. Amen. I like that. Now, no wonder they were called wise. They recognized Jesus not only as a baby that was going to be a savior, but as a man that was going to be a king one day. They knew that that baby was going to have to suffer, grow up and suffer in our place and die. But they also knew enough scripture to know he wasn't going to stay dead. They didn't know a lot about the bodily resurrection of Christ from the Old Testament, but they knew about the second coming of Christ. Mm-hmm. So I assume that they assumed that if he's coming back again, he's got to get up out of the grave to come back.
Amen.
Did you know Jesus said, "If I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me"? Did you know that's our job now? We were once foolish and unwise people. And he drew us to himself. And he adopted us into the family of God. And now he keeps us. He hath, he doth, and he yet will deliver us. And one day, He's going to take this old mortal body and change it into an immortal body.
Yes, sir.
And we're going to have a body just like His.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Well, that's sweet there. That's sweet. Yeah. That's what wise people want to hear. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Now, we've got the greatest story that's ever been told.
Yeah.
Why are we not telling it?
Amen.
I mean, if it's so good,
amen,
and we're so wise, why don't we use the same thing? Why don't we lift Jesus up in our words and our manners and our way and how we live and all that as a testimony to the greatness of God and His Son, Jesus Christ? And then our light will shine. And then other wise people who are seeking the light will be drawn to that light. And then, Sister Mary, we can point them to His light.
Amen.
And make somebody else wise.
Amen.
Now we see people all the time stumbling down the street, drunk drivers, drug addicts killing themselves, people living terrible lives, destroying their own selves, their own families, and instead of lifting up, shining a light on it, we want to hit them in the head with a rock. Well, Jesus is the rock, but He's not the one to hit them in the head with, He's the one to get them to stand on.
Amen. Come on. Yeah.
So why don't we shine the light and say, look here, you need some help. And guess what? I got what you need.
Amen.
And tell them the gospel. Somebody told me one day, I don't know enough about the Bible how to tell somebody how to be saved. Do you know how you got saved?
That's right.
Amen.
I was sitting in a house one time over there across from the old church over there where we were, and I was witnessing to the man. The man was a long story about that, but he finally got his wife and his children in there, and I just went around the room and I looked at him and I told him where I was born, how I grew up, and how I was born again and what God's done for me. And I looked at that woman, I said, has that ever happened to you? She said, I ain't never heard nothing like that in my life. And her husband was supposed to be a great religious man. I used to work with a Jehovah's Witness woman, a black woman, wonderful woman. I mean, she'd go in people's houses and clean their house for them. She'd get them meals and wash their clothes, do all kinds of stuff. And we sold insurance, so we'd have to sometimes go out to clients, you know, and I had to train her. And she told me, she said, these people here say that you're a preacher. I said, yeah, I'm a Baptist pastor. She said, well, tell me, how did that happen? How do you become a Baptist pastor? I said, I ain't got a clue. I said, but I'll tell you what happened to me. So I gave her my testimony. I told her how I grew up in a godless home and all the things in my life, you know, and how God began to draw me. And how I was saved in my 20s, and how God called me to preach in my 20s, and how I began to preach. And I said, it all comes back to being born again.
Yeah.
I said, I didn't know I was born wrong in the first place till God showed me. I knew there was something wrong, I just didn't know what it was.
Right.
And I didn't know what to do about it after I found out about it until somebody showed me Jesus and how to be saved. And I received Him, and He saved me, and He changed me, and I've never been the same. You know what she said? She said, I ain't never heard nothing like that in my life.
Wow.
We need to talk more. I said, yes, we do. Because here's a good woman, Jehovah Witness, thinks she knows Christ, and she does not. And I said, have you ever been born again? She said, I've never heard of that.
Wow.
Listen, if we're wise, we won't only receive the Savior, we won't only give Him our treasure, we won't only worship Him, but we'll share that good news with other people.
Amen.
Now you got a great opportunity this week. You got a great opportunity. Hey, there's people out there right now looking for you to tell them the truth. Because you know what they got? They got nothing.
That's right.
They got nothing. They might have a house full of toys and presents, but they have nothing spiritually. And did you know that there's no accidents with God's people?
That's right.
If God gave you a child, it was for a purpose, that child to be born and then born again and then raised and then serving God when it grew up. God gave you that child. There was no accident. I hear people say that somewhere. We had two and then we had an accident. No, God gave you that third one too.
Right. Yes.
give you this story and I'll quit. Charlie Burgess was a millionaire. He owned Burgess Trucking up in Charlotte. He started out in Gastonia. He was this old truck driver. He didn't even have a high school education, just old rough talking, big man. Drove a truck for years, and he bought his own truck. And that was successful, so he bought another one. And that was successful, so he bought another one. And that was successful, so he bought another one. He ended up with 13 terminals and over 300 trucks. And one day he walked into Blessed Hope Baptist Church. He'd been hearing our pastor on the radio. And he said, I want to do a favor for you, Pastor. I want to take you and another man in your church to First Baptist Church, Hammond, Indiana, to pastor school, Dr. Jack Howell's church. Do you know anybody? And the pastor walked left and said, wait right here. Come back there. And he got me. I was 25 years old. And he got me and brought me up there. And that man paid for everything. He paid for our flight up there. He paid for it back. He said we'd have to take enough money to buy food or books or anything. And I remember I just had a pocket full of money. Wasn't very much. I thought I was really going to stretch it to eat a whole week. I never bought a meal. He bought every one of them. Every time they'd hold up books to sell them, we'd have times, you know, where there wasn't no preaching or singing. These guys come out and they have books and they'd sell them at a discount. Books that preachers need. And they'd hold them up. He'd say, bring me three over here. He'd get one. He'd give me and my pastor one. Never paid for one of them. The secretary of the church, he told us, said, you make the reservations and you rent us a car. And she rented a Chevrolet. And he said, no, sir. We're not riding in a Chevrolet. You call back and get us a Lincoln Continental. We landed in the biggest thing I'd ever seen in my life, the Chicago O'Hare International Airport. A little 20-something-year-old boy scared to death.
Oh, yeah.
We went to the rental car. The man gave him the keys. We walked out in the parking lot, found the car. He handed me the keys and said, you're driving. In Chicago. That's back right here when we were just getting four lanes every once in a while in the interstate. Up there they had 18 lanes and 16 lanes and we going up the interstate. I have no idea. All these Yankees doing 100 miles an hour. I'm driving old Lincoln Continental, a new Lincoln Continental, and he's running his mouth to my pastor in the back and he turns around and says, turn right there. I said, there's eight lanes of traffic between us and that turn. He grabbed the steering wheel and turned it and went out across there. And I said, you're going to get us killed. He said, the man with the biggest automobile has the right of way. Yeah. Truck driver. He talked like it. We pulled up this little place. He said, I'm going to buy y'all lunch. We just got there in Chicago, in Hammond, Indiana. I'm going to buy y'all something. A little old restaurant I'd never heard of, you know, little hamburger joint. He said, I'm going to get some cheeseburgers. How many you want, son? I said, well, I usually get one. He said, oh, you eat more than that. I said, well, maybe two. He said, no, I'm going to get six.
What?
He said, you need at least six. So he ordered me six. And we went through the line. It was, I'd never heard of White Castle. We went through the line and got up there to the cashier. A little black boy was checking us out and he had an earring. Boys just started getting earrings. He looked at me and said, son, why do you wear that earring? He said, the girls like it. And he looked at him and said, I bet some of the boys do too. Now this was and that boy went, he gave him a gospel tract. He said, you need to get saved, son. On the way back, we met a boy in the airport. He was coming home from the Army and he was going to Fayetteville, North Carolina. The plane was landing in Charlotte and Mr. Burgess told me and my pastor, I'm going to take this boy right here and I'm going to rent a car and I'm going to drive him to Fayetteville. While we were at the church, he offered to buy three new buses to start a bus ministry at a church of a pastor that we met there. When we got back, he bought us two practically new buses. Now this man had money. He was a dedicated Christian. Everywhere he went, he witnessed. On the back of his trucks, it said, safety is of the Lord.
Amen.
Now he let his light shine. And let me tell you something. This usually think millionaires wouldn't do that.
All right.
Multi-million. After we got back a couple months later, maybe a year or so, I heard he had told us he was going to get his pilot's license. And he bought him a little airplane, one of those little Cessna airplanes. 70-something-year-old man getting his pilot's license. He said, that'll save me time. I can just fly everywhere I go. He went to meetings all over the country, gospel preaching and all this stuff. He'd buy people buses and help them build churches and stuff. And he'd fly that thing. And right after he got his pilot's license, I heard he had he wrecked his airplane on I-85. That's where he tried to land it, on I-85. The motor cut off, they said, and he coasted down on the I-85 and wrecked it, flipped it. And this is what one of the EMTs told me that was a Christian. I found this guy at another meeting who knew him. He said, when we pulled up there, Charlie had looked like a million gospel tracts done come out of that plane. They was all over the interstate. And said he was sitting up on the wing, reading his Bible, crying and praising the Lord.
Yeah.
For saving his life.
Amen.
He said, and before we left, he had done won one of the emergency medical technicians to Christ. You know why? He was a wise man. He wasn't an old rough trucker anymore. And God blessed him. He was a wise man. And he let his light shine.
Amen.
Now here it is, Christmas. Why couldn't we do that?
Amen.
I want to be wise, don't you? Let's lift him up. And he said, if I be lifted up, not Santa Claus, not a tree, not presents, not all that other stuff, but let's make Christ the center of our Christmas.
Amen.
If we're going to celebrate, let's put him in it.
That's right.
And the light will come on, it'll draw people to him. Let's stand. Father, thank you for your inner.